Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show. Tonight on the show, Eddie Patino. Come on, guys, come on in. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony the Beat. I'm so happy to see everybody here tonight. I've got a great guest, as you've seen in the opening credits. Eddie Patino is joining me, an old friend of mine that I met at Target during my Target days. We discuss a lot. We discuss Target. We discuss anxiety and depression. We discuss therapy, coping skills. We just do a deep dive into how Eddie has been doing thus far since I've seen him in over a year. And like I tell you guys every single time, this is a fan-supported show. This show is supported by people like you, PBS. That does not mean that I'm asking monetarily. I am asking for likes, shares, comments, support, MySpace bulletins, Facebook shoutouts, Twitter it. Anything that you can to offer support for the show is greatly appreciated. And since we've jumped into the YouTube universe, I'd like to also remind you that you can catch the audio version of this show on Apple iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, Stitcher Premium, Spotify, and all your major podcast carriers. I just wanted to welcome our next guest to the show. It's been a while. I'd like to welcome my good friend, Edward Patino. I've known this guy for quite a long time, and we'll get into a little storytelling as we go along. I'll tell you how I met him, but I'd like to throw it over to Eddie. And
thank you for having me. Great. I'm in a better place now, so I'm happy for that. Feel like the light at the end of the tunnel is coming to an end with this pandemic, but I think we're journeying to a new normal for everybody. So it's just something that, you know, I personally have to get used to and see where things take me and where the future holds for myself.
We actually met. So for the listeners at home, I like to tell everybody when I bring friends on how I've met them, how I know them. And so Eddie came on during Christmas, and I don't know if it was Eddie or someone else, but I was so annoyed with the way the trees were coming in or something. I didn't have help, and I literally you had to physically get in this big semi trailer to unload these trees by hand, and there was like four of us. Eddie came in a little later because they were scrambling to find us help. And Mike's like 50 years old, right? And I'm out of shape. Like, I'm like dying over there. I'm like, this is like,
we were in the best of shape. Like, believe me,
I'm still, I got into some good shape, and then I got super depressed.
It's the yo-yo diet, you know, you're either up or down. But yeah, I recall that day. I remember like my supervisor Nancy was like, "Hun, they need your assistance in a garden with trees." And I was like, "Okay, cool. You know, this is a change. You know, I don't have to be on a register. I don't have to be on a lane, you know." And it was a busy, you know, busy December. And I was like, "What do I do?" I think I remember I ran into Ricky and I was like, "Ricky, Nancy sent me out here." She's like, "Oh, great." She was so excited, you know, like, "Oh, great. You're gonna go help Tony." And I was like, she's throwing names at me and I'm not like familiar. I was like, "Who, you know, like I've heard of Tony, you know, I've heard of you." And then she's like, "They're over there. Go get some gloves. Go get with Mike and get some gloves." And I'm like, "Okay, what am like? What did I get myself into? I'm wearing gloves now. Like, I just thought I would think I was originally told you're going to go out to garden just to ring up, you know?" I was just like, "Oh, cool." But then, you know, Ricky was under the impression like, "Oh, he's here to help." So I was like, "I'm the new guy, so I'm just like, I don't know what the heck I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to be do it as I told, you know?" And when Ricky said like, "Go over there by the truck with Tony and Mike and like start unloading trees." And I was like, "What?" Was like, "Trees?"
Try working in the garden section throughout the whole Christmas season, especially with a chainsaw. I think I told this story on one of the episodes. I used to always try to break the chainsaw so I wouldn't have to cut people's trees because people are rude. So yeah, I'd always just try to break the chainsaw. But I was angry that day because there was no help. And literally, if you were to like picture this in a movie where we're in a wide shot, the truck is backed up to the back of garden where we were unloading the trees, and all you see is the gate up and trees flying out the back because I was upset. And Ricky kept telling me, "Tony, you're gonna break the trees. Stop doing it." I said, "You're not even helping. Why are you yelling at me?" And she's like, "I'm trying to get you help." I said, "But you're a person. You can help." And it didn't go well. And I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but I almost hit them in the face with the tree because I was throwing them out. And I did. That's when I stopped because I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna." Oh no, it was Mike. Yeah, I almost hit Mike in the face, and he started yelling at me. And then I got scared, and I was like, "Oh my God, I got Mike mad. Mike never gets mad. Like
You're like,
something's
"I gotta
wrong
stop."
here."
Yeah.
Missing audio reel. Sorry for the inconvenience. Theater management. Hey, Nancy's one of them, but God rest her soul. I don't know if that was even legal what we did then. Like having to store that amount of money, like change in the drawer. We pulled the drawer out and stacked the change there because she didn't want to give it to us. I don't know. I loved her though. She
No.
was great.
Yeah.
Her and her Coca-Cola, her
Her,
Coca-Cola cup that she'd had for like
yes, that
24
was,
years.
and it was all faded. The bullseye logos on it would be faded.
Oh my God. I think she bought that cup like 25 years before I even seen it because it was beat up.
Before the
And
remodel,
yeah,
the
before the
first,
first remodel.
what, in
And
90?
yeah, she never paid for her sodas after that. Actually,
That's
now
funny.
that I think of it, I think they stopped giving out those plastic cups. It was all paper.
Cups. Yeah, then it went to like that cardboard paper type cup, and no more free refills.
Because of Nancy, all her freebies.
Honestly, you're gonna have to do a podcast just with like Target, like just all of us, you know,
Since Eddie's
the
bringing this
OGs.
up, yes, since Eddie, you're bringing this up, I don't know why I keep like overlooking these
What?
things. I think since pandemic, we can do instead of the Target dinners we used to always do, that somehow always fell on me. It was Target dinners I never got invited to because it was the older crowd, and then somehow I became part of that crowd, and then they're
The
like, "Well,
crowd.
Tony, you plan it and tell us when." And then when I started doing it, everybody complained about the time, the day, where we did it. I'm like, "Really? I don't want to do this anymore." Here's a good idea. Anybody that's listening that's from Target, I'm gonna create a group chat and let's see who's willing to come on the podcast and just do like a Zoom reunion for 309. I'm thinking like Fabby, Simon, Tina, Eddie,
myself,
Gabby.
Gabby's always too busy to do anything, though. Shoot. Mira.
Tony, shut up, Tony.
Anyways, pandemic-wise, how would you say you've been handling this? Because I've been...
From the beginning, when I heard that word pandemic, I just knew it was something serious. And I just had kind of, stuck to my faith that, hopefully... this is something that's gonna, pass in some time, thinking maybe 2 to 3, maybe 4 months tops, this will get into some type of control, figured out where, it started, how to handle it. But did I even think about a vaccine at the time? Were we really gonna need it? No, it was just something that I think I just buried myself into work a lot. And I was always on this pattern of just, getting up, getting my day started, going to work, coming home, doing what my daily activities. And that was my normal routine through all this. And I think, I didn't really deal with it so much. And that was something that I think I should have handled a little bit more better from the beginning. And I just kind of, I think I tried to block it out more, I've tried to hear about it, what was the new thing coming out about it? Like how does, and then I worked in, in a public setting. So I kind of had I was getting fed a lot at work. Like, this is what we have to do, the precautions, how we were going to start handling things. So, new routines that we had to implement at work, and stuff like that. So that was a big change at work, and not just in my daily life, but now it's hitting work. We were doing things different, so like our normal everyday life was starting to be affected by it, starting to going into work, coming home, and it was like, you have to be careful, consistently washing those hands, And I always handled money. So it was regardless if it was opening a register or taking it out, and taking it to a register, counting it back, I have to count it, to make sure that, I'm putting in that right amount into that register. And so now I'm thinking, is it going to, am I going to get sick because I'm touching this money? Money's gross from the beginning, to start with. And strippers, so it was like, butts. I mean, you see people pull it out of their shirts and they're like, here's $20. And it's like, that's gross. The stories you hear where money's from, but it's like consistently, not starting to wash your hands. So it was like, it was a big difference, a big change in life. And your normal routine, and it was different. So it was trying to cope with your new lifestyle, but it was like, I personally was just like, I kept trying to in my head try not to think about it so much, thinking that's how I am personally, is like I try to block things out, not think about it so much, because I feel like I think about it more, it's gonna happen. And if I don't think about it so much and just continue to do my daily, routine or whatever it is I'm doing, it's basically like out of sight, out of mind type of thing. So not in this case, let me tell you that, not in this case. And I think as time passed, and it's perfect, because I remember this time last year, and this would have been my last month completely working like a full month at Target, because I started to feel really drained. And when I say drained, not like physically drained, like I recall like waking up and I'd be refreshed, ready to start my day. And then I would head out to work. And as I walked into those doors in that building and start making my way to the back, like my mind would get really tired. And I felt like my brain was like, someone was squishing it type of thing. And it wouldn't be like a headache type pain or anything. It just felt tired, tired to think, just looking at something and like, what am I going to do with, like, for example, this pen? And I would look at it and I would feel drained. Like it hurt to think. Let's put it that way. It hurt to think. And then I would be like, I got enough sleep last night. Why do I feel tired? That's how I was like, that's what I thought it was. Like, why do I feel tired? And I was like, okay, maybe I should go to bed a little bit earlier tonight. And then I tried doing that. And that wasn't the case after maybe 2 weeks. I was like, what the heck's wrong with me? Like, and I'm not the type of person to go to the doctor. Like, you know, if I'm sick, you know, I kind of like tough it out. And I'm like, I thought about it at the back of my mind, like, maybe I should go to the doctor. Maybe, you know, maybe something's wrong with me. Like, you know, what if I have a tumor in my head or something, you know? And that's something that, you know, my mom had a tumor. So it's like, you know, I thought that, you know, maybe I have something. And then I remember April coming to an end, like my birthday hit, and it took like 4 days off for my birthday. Usually I take like a week, but this year I was like, it's pandemic. There's really nothing much I can do. You know, we were already in like second lockdown. So I was like, I'll take 4 days. You know, it took like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday off, you know? And I remember at work, they were letting people take some time off. You know, if you were sick or something, you needed, they would give you 2 weeks off. And I think they were doing like pay too. You didn't have to use sick time or anything. So I remember having our weekly meetings, and I was sitting with my actual overall boss, because my aligned boss was on a leave. And they had asked us, you know, like, is your team coming to you? Do they have any concerns about what's going on and stuff like that? And I was like, you know, no, there would be some people who already like bypassed us as leaders, gone to HR and talked about taking time off because they were kind of scared of being in that environment, because, you know, we were an essential store. And at that point, you know, we were kind of, you know, felt like we were open 24/7, you know? And I said, you know, well, I'm kind of like worried because I do have asthma. And I remember saying, like, you know, hearing in the news that people who have asthma was like kind of like a concern, you know, that they can possibly get sick, you know, easy. So they were like, well, that doesn't really fall under the list of things that, you know, would allow you to take some time off. And they're like, well, you can just take your regular time off and use your vacation pay. And I was like, well, I have my birthday coming up. So I added like, I think maybe 4 more days in front of it and another 4 days after it. So which made it 2 weeks off, which, you know, was the last week in April, led into May. So I took my 2 weeks off and I felt a little like rejuvenated during that time. Like, you know, I didn't do much because, you know, at that point you couldn't really go anywhere. You know, the malls weren't open, you know, you couldn't go into, unless it was a grocery store or a big box store, you're either at that point, I think you were waiting in line to get in. And, you know, it's like, oh, why am I going to go to Trader Joe's and wait like in a line? You know, it's like, so what did I do? I think I kind of just chilled at home because at that point I was already like, I needed a break, you know, I needed a vacation from work. But it kind of sucked because, you know, I couldn't really go anywhere. You know, you couldn't plan a trip to like LA, you know, because at that point, it's like, there's really not much you can do right now. And so 2 weeks went, you know, I was ready to go back to work. I missed my team. And I was like, yes, you know, so I go back and my boss is back, you know, from her leave. And it was exciting to get back to work with her. And, you know, it was like a week passed and I'm walking into a new, you know, a new way of how we're driving business. Because I think at that point it was like the social distancing started, you know, we were having a line queue outside. So many people can be inside the store. I had to learn how to, you know, like monitor, go out there and have people, so many people in, so many people going out at certain times. And like, our drive up orders were like going crazy, you know. Our normal drive up orders were like quadrupled in a day. So that was a big thing. So it was like we had half of our team picking orders and the other half of the team taking orders out to cars. And that was like so stressful because we're timed on it. So at this
point, you guys are?
Yes, we are timed. We have a 2-minute time limit to when they are alerted to when they're here, which means I'm at the store. We have 2 minutes to take it out there. And if we don't get it in that 2-minute time period, it becomes a red score. And
so I apologize for those listening that know Eddie that don't know me, because I probably left before your time and you have done my drive up order. I am the guy who comes to the store to get his orders either in a silver bike Toyota or a blue bike Honda. That's me. I didn't know that. So I'm going to have to figure out how to change that maybe. But I think everybody knows that's me by now. Like, yeah, I still have
I remember seeing it and I was like, oh my God, this is Tony. I remember like telling one of my team, like, let me take that order out. Like, I was like, really? And like, I remember my team member like was like, a blue bike? Because it shows like a bicycle, not like a motorcycle. Because, you know, there's like that motorcycle, you know, and there's a bicycle, yep. You know?
Like, yep. And I ordered bicycle. Like waters and stuff.
And I'm like, and I remember they come back and they're like, was he really on a bike? I was like, no.
It's totally adding to your stress levels on top yeah. of everything else that you're going through.
Yeah, so it was a lot. So it was like, that was like, and for me and like my area, it was like, I always wanted to achieve the best being green and, you know, stay consistent. And it was, to be honest, it was hard because our business was running different. It was a new different than what we were always. It was like Christmas crazy in April, May. It was that crazy. And on top of it, there was the shortage, you know? It's like calls like, do you have toilet paper? Do you have bleach? Do you have Lysol? Do you have masks? Do you have gloves? And it's like, do you have baby wipes? And it was, do you have hand sanitizer? And it was like crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
Imagine that being like a serial killer calling, asking for these things when you guys are thinking it's pandemic.
Yeah. It was crazy. And to go like every day and work 8 hours of stress. And it's like, I was like, you know what? It's like Christmas. I can, you know, to myself, I was like, I can deal with it. And I remember going back for 2 weeks. And then at one point my boss had pulled me aside and she like did like a check-in on me, you know? And that's something I liked about Target was like, when you see someone not themselves, we would do check-ins. I, as a leader, did that. Like when I would see someone, like, could you work with your team on a day-to-day basis? You get to know them on a, you know, like a friend level. And yeah, you know when
we become family. Somebody.
Yeah, it's not just like, the one thing that I liked about working at Target is we became a family. And it was like how I always said was like, you know what? I love going to work because I love the people I work with. And at the end of the day, as long as we get the work done, we can have fun in the process. I just, you know, I was so glad, like now that I look back on it, it's like these check-ins. Like my boss knew something wasn't right with me. She's like, I remember her telling me like, you're not the Eddie that I know. And even though she was gone for like, I think it was like 4 months, and her coming back, like seeing me, my work ethic was different. It wasn't like, because at that time, like I was already like mentally drained. I wasn't physically drained. And what scared me at one time in that first 2 weeks when I went back after my birthday was that I remembered hearing myself inside, like, asking for help, but my outer physical body was just like tuning it out. Like I was a different person on the outside, but on the inside it was me like trying to get help. It was like I knew I was dealing with anxiety, and I would like, you know, okay, you know, let's do a couple of deep breaths, and then I would be like, okay, you know, Let me meditate for a few minutes, you know, when I get home, I'll work out and that's going to like help my stress, relax me. But I remembered like hearing myself, you know, I remember like coming home one day and I walked into the pantry and I was like, why did I walk in here? And it took me a while to think what I was looking for. And I remembered, like, okay, I came in here to get like my snacks for work ready for the next day. But it was like my mind was that drained and tired that I would do things and just stop and look at something like, why am I looking at this? And I would be like, okay, like, and then I would figure it out, move on, and not think so much about it. Like, why did I do that? And I remember doing like walking into work and just doing that at some points. And after that 2 weeks of going back, like I told my boss, I go, I think I need like the 2 weeks I took off from her birthday wasn't long enough. Like I need another 2 weeks. So, you know, they gave me two more weeks off and like now this is mid-May. And then took 2 weeks off. I felt good, went back for another 2 weeks. And now here we are like Memorial weekend. Nieces and nephews came into town. So it was like, it was exciting because I hadn't seen them in person for like, oh my gosh, like maybe 2 years. But my oldest nephew, I did see like a year before that. So it was nice to have them there. And like my mindset changed, you know, it was like family's here. It felt like it helped, but it wasn't such a big help. You know, it kind of just smoldered the flames for a little bit. But once they left, it like reignited that flame again and the anxiety was back. And it was like, I remember going back to work. And at that point, there was so much going on. There was like, you know, the chaoses were happening in like Minnesota, like, you know, the, everything with George Floyd, the rioting. And you saw that, you know, happening in almost every major city across the US. And I remember seeing the first thing I saw was like a Target store being vandalized. And I was like, oh my God, like I felt bad. Like that's where people work. Like these people are going in there and like destroying this place. And I'd see familiar things. Like for me working at Target, I would see like a flat, people had a flat with stuff on it, pushing it out. You saw carts going out of the store, people just throwing shit in carts. You saw mannequins knocked down. You saw emergency exit doors open and people just running out of there. And it was just chaos. And I remember seeing like, at that point, there was like still workers just standing and like, what are they, you know, like, what can you do? You know, you see all this and like, my mind was like, oh my God, like it was a lot going on already in my chaotic mind. And I was just like, I remember turning away from the TV and like, I can't watch it anymore. I couldn't watch like the news and seeing like all this destruction happening, you know, on top of this pandemic. And then it was like scary. And I remember my nieces and nephews were actually driving back down to Ontario to fly back home. And there was some rioting going down south. And like, my sister-in-law was like, oh my God, she's like, I'm concerned for the kids. They're going back that way. But my nephew was like, you know, we're not going towards, you know, LA, we're going, you know, kind of like around that. So we're gonna be okay. So I was a little concerned about that already. And I think there was a fire going down south already. And I was just like, there was like a lot. So it was like in my mindset, I was trying to like, at this point, my anxiety, it was like, here we are, like end of May, early starting June, and my anxiety was at its highest and I wasn't dealing with it. And, you know, everything going on like in the country and the world was not helping. Things that made me happy, I turned away from. I couldn't listen to music anymore. I love music. I love listening to music. I remember I would drive to work with the music on and like singing along to music. And I remembered like in my last 2 weeks of driving to work, I would just turn the radio off and not listen to it and just hear the sound of the tires on the road because music was not making me happy. And at this point I was ready, had downloaded an app to help with my anxiety. I remember meditating like for 15 minutes in the morning when I would wake up. I would come home and do like 30 to 40 minute meditation sessions. and I would do another 10-minute session before falling asleep at night. They helped for a little bit, and it didn't really do. And then I remember going back my final 2 weeks, and we had to do training on, what was it? If our store got, like, people came in and start rioting in our store and looting, like, I remember sitting in our conference room. I was actually standing and I was holding paperwork, and I couldn't listen to what was being told to us, like what we're supposed to do as team members. Like, we're supposed to, like, you know, help guests, help the team to any emergency exit and exit the store if something crazy were to happen. And I compared it to, in my therapy session, I compared it to a training we had for active shooter. And I remember we had an active shooter training back in 2019. I compared it to that. I was able to sit there, watch the videos, and not freak out about it, because I was like, this is serious, because, you know, it's happening. You know, active shooters were happening a lot back then. And I mean, they still are. And we were taking that training, and I was like, you know, I was ready mapping out, like, I know this story, where would I hide? And we were like, where would be our hiding places? You know, what would you do? And like active training, they were like, it, you know, it's your life. Don't, if you want to be a hero, that's up to you. But we're telling you, it's your life. You're going to run. You're going to protect your life in an active shooter. And, you know, find your exits. Where do you want to hide? Where do you want to barricade yourself? Where do you want to leave? You know, and like, if that's the case, this is our rally point. You know, I remember you probably, you know, like, you know, if we had an internal, external, you know, type of evacuation, where were our rally points? You know, it was like reflecting back on that active shooter training and the training we were taking if we were, our store got like rioted. And I was like, I was so calm and like, you know, that's scary. Taking an active shooter training, that is scary, you know, because mm-hmm. there's a chance it can possibly happen to you. And then to hear the training we were taking on what we would to do if, you know, people came into our store and started, you know, just taking over it. Like, I sat there stunned and scared. And I remember my HR looking at me like through that meeting, and I literally wanted to walk out. I couldn't. I felt paralyzed. I was like paralyzed standing. And my HR kept looking at me, and like, she knew, because, you know, she told me she's like, she dealt with like anxiety, you know, and she kind of can see it in me. Like I was having like, not like a panic attack. I was just like in a zone.
This is the part of the show I earn my keep. This is Tips and Tricks with a Psychotherapist. Have you ever had this feeling like you're about to die? Your heart just is pounding. Pounding so hard that you can feel the blood pressure just pulsating up into your eardrums. Your chest tightens. You have difficulty breathing. Your thoughts are very rapid and you can't control them. You have this feeling of immediate impending doom. This is the symptoms of having a panic or an anxiety attack. You might be asking yourself, why is my body acting this way? You see, most of the time, people think our brains are hardwired to be happy. That's not true. Our brains are hardwired for the innate ability to survive. That is it. So there are outside factors that are contributing to triggering your anxiety or your panic. These things can be very minor or minimal, or they can be very severe and at a large grand scale. When these triggers start to fire off in one's body, we become tense. This is because we feel that we need to survive something. I would like to give you some tips and tricks on how to counteract if you experience a panic or anxiety attack. You must slow your thoughts down. Your thought process in your mind is just running crazy, trying to think and analyze so much at one moment. This is when you need to stop and evaluate your situation. What can you do to alleviate these triggers? you need to check into the here and now and know that you are in the present. Everything is safe. Everything is secure. Now I need you to take a deep breath in through your nose. Fill your lungs and then hold it for a count of two. Slowly exhaling through your mouth, I want you to focus on your breathing. Now, I would like for you to focus on the here and now. Every time that you find your mind jumping, either to the past or present, these are the hooks in which are pulling and triggering your anxiety or your panic inside. While you're in meditation, while you continuously focus on your breathing and focus on staying on the here and now, each time your mind jumps, pull it back. Continuously tell yourself, reinforce the thought process that you are safe, that you are secure, and that you are in total control of the situation.
And at that point, I knew, Tony, I knew I was dealing with something and I wasn't dealing with it to help it. I wanted to be there for my team. I was like, this is a crazy time. I need to be here. You know, I'm that strong person that they look up to. And every time I walked into that store, they're like, oh, thank God you're here. You know, like, oh my God, like we need your help. So it was really hard for me to like take care of myself because my team needed me. That's how I saw it. So during this crazy time, it was hard for me to step down and step aside and take care of my own mental health. And it was that day later, I remember it was a Friday and it was going into my weekend. No, it was my weekend on. My boss pulled me aside. And at that point I was just like, I know something's wrong. I go, I can't, like, I just didn't have the energy anymore. I couldn't even walk to the back to go to my locker, get my stuff and leave for the day. And I remember sitting down with my boss, like it was probably about maybe a half an hour before I was ready to leave. And then she did another check-in with me. And then, you know, she kind of went over my core roles as a leader. And she just kind of clarified things with me and asked me, can you do the work? And I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you, Amber. I was like, I know what's expected out of me as a leader. I know what to do. I go, but right now I go, I'm not mentally in the right place to do what I got to do here. And it was a tough choice to like tell her that I need to take a leave of absence. It, you know, it got to that point where it was just like, you need to step aside and help yourself. And it made me open up so much, like, oh my God, like I was like admitting now that yes, the anxiety is a lot and it's affecting me mentally. And I was like, if I can't take care of myself, I can't come to work and take care of my team. I can't go home and take care of my mom if I'm not in a good place. So it was a point to where I had to step down. And I remember like partnering with my HR at that moment. And then they told me what to do. That same day, one of our other leaders were leaving. So we were kind of have a going away little party for her. I remember walking back to our team lead area and I literally had to stop at the end of the hall before getting into that area because everyone was ready, sitting down, talking stories about, you know, when that individual started, that just basically memories. I remember leaning up against the wall to the break room and I couldn't just like, I wanted to go to my locker, get my stuff and leave, but I couldn't pass by all those faces because I felt like I was going to break down and just cry. So I just like held it together as best as like whatever energy I had left mentally. and stood against that wall, and I tried not to make eye contact, and I think they kind of asked me like if I wanted to share any moments with that team member or memories, and I kind of just shared something really quickly. As much as I wanted to share more fun moments, and like I had all these things that I wanted to say, but I felt like if I continued talking, it was just gonna break me down like mentally and physically, and I was just gonna lose it. And so I remember things wrapping up. I went to my locker, got my stuff, and then they told me, okay, you know, call the benefits team member service number, and you know, to get your leave of absence rolling. And I remember going to my car and sitting in my car for like 15 minutes, like thinking, what am I going to do? And I remember the first thing I was going to do and was like reaching out to you. My boss at the time, Amber, was like, get some help. You know, like she kind of clarified it that it's not a bad thing, because, you know, you hear mental, like when you hear the word mental, for me, I feel like it's like, oh my God, someone's crazy, you know? It's like, but, you know, after dealing with this and then sitting down, having that one-on-one, and I want to give her like the shout out and thanking her for, you know, sitting down with me, not just as a boss, but, you know, she sat down as a person who was caring at that time and being like checking in on me, because like any other boss would have been like, hey, your performance is shitty right now. You're not doing great. I'm going to write you up, and you continue to do this shit, you're going to get fired. You know, it was like, she sat down and checked on, like she knew I was going through something, like, and she did that check-in. And if it wasn't for her not having that caring personality and checking in on one of her leaders, I don't think I would have been able to take that. Like, I wouldn't have agreed to take a leave of absence. But I remember sitting in my car for 15 minutes and I'm like, okay, I gotta give Tony, reach out to Tony. And then I drove around town, like Santa Maria for a while.
Dodging bullets.
So I remember parking in the parking lot of Starbucks where Panera's at. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and I called my leave of absence and took my leave. And then I called my doctor and made an appointment. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna go home. And I think I remember that later in that day, I reached out to you and asked you for, like, you know, a therapist. And that's, you know, and that's where it all started. I feel like that was like my lowest point, but yet it was the new, like, after that point, everything was going to start aiming up. Counseling was scary. Like, when I got the confirmation, like, after you hooked me up with a therapist, I remember her calling me, and we scheduled an appointment and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my God, this is, like, serious, you know? Like, my first session was, like, it was a little scary. I didn't know what to expect. I like to, like, analyze things and see things before I go into it and tackle it. And it was, like, going into the unknown for me. And I remember, okay, it was, like, supposed to be 45 minutes, which it was. And I actually have my notebook here. So I have this.
Keep where I forever. Took,
I do. I have a friend gave me this for my birthday. So I used this to write down every session I had. I took notes and stuff. And I remember in the first session, she told me, I need you to go on Amazon and get this book.
For those listening that aren't on the YouTube podcast, it's the Anxiety Workbook. You can get it on Amazon. Who's the author?
This one's David Clark and Aaron Beck.
That's the one you need.
Yeah, and I think they have the most current edition on Amazon, because my therapist at the time had an edition that was just a little older one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember closing my phone and I was like, damn it, I have to buy something. I'm not even working. And I was like, so I was like, okay, stop being stubborn. And I went to Amazon and I was like, yes, I have Capital One points. So I used my Capital One points. The book was like, I think $12.95. It wasn't that much. And I was like, okay. It's really inexpensive. And I did not write in this workbook at all. Like, have you actually seen the book, Tony, that yourself, you use this book?
I have tons of copies of them. I hand them out to clients when I feel they need them. But I recommend anybody listening getting the anxiety handbook. It is a game changer when it comes to being able to analyze the anxiety for what it is, being able to putting into play your new coping skills in order to be able to reprocess the way in which you're going to take on the future, which is the anxiety. It's a great book. I highly recommend it.
It is. Like, honestly, I remember, I'm such an organized person, and my therapist at the time, I would tab certain sections because there's like worksheets and they would be like 3.1, 3.2. I would break the chapters down because as you get more into the book, the chapters get very lengthy. So I would kind of break the chapters up and I would read between sessions and then I would do the worksheets and I would make copies and then write on those worksheets because I didn't write in this book because I don't want to like write in the book. But because I want to use it and help friends out. And so I would do the worksheets and then we would follow up on the next session, like that stuff. And my therapist was like so amazed. Like I went into therapy with a positive attitude. I had told myself, I am not going to be afraid of this. I'm not going to let anxiety control me. I'm in control of my body and I'm not going to let anything else take control of it. And I can reflect back to a night when I was on my leave of absence, Tony, like right before I started therapy and before I started medication for my anxiety. I woke up like at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think I was either having a nightmare, but I remember waking up and kind of like hyperventilating, sitting at the edge of my bed. And I was like, I'm going crazy. And I kind of like almost had a panic attack. And I was like trying to find my phone to see what time it was. And then I found the phone. I literally got up and kind of paced in my room and just kind of like took deep breaths. And I like, you know, you're not going crazy. You're not going crazy. You're not going crazy. And I just kind of like turned to my faith and like prayed for a few minutes and then drank some water. And I'm just like sat on my bed again, kind of scrolled through Instagram really quickly, trying to like fall back to sleep, and went back to sleep. And that was like the scariest prior to like dealing with the anxiety and having my mind so drained and tired and not knowing what was causing it. And I remember talking to my doctor about that. And he had told me, he was like, anxiety will do that. And like, cause I would flip out, like, why is my mind so tired and drained? Because then I was like, do I have a tumor or something? But with all of that and going through counseling, like for those who are afraid of, you know, getting help and talking to someone, like do it. It is totally worth it. Like it makes you a better person. I told my therapist, I feel like people come to me and talk to me about their personal problems and I'm a good listener and I will sit there and listen to you and like help you out and give you advice. And it sucked because the tables were turned and I needed that help. And it was so worth it. Like I was so excited to go. I was doing sessions every Monday at 3 o'clock for 45 minutes. I was so ready with my notebook and read my chapters. I was like, it was like going back to school for me because I was learning so much. And that book helped so much. And I'm so glad I made that call to get it because she did say she would, you know, give me worksheets to do if I didn't want to get the book. And it was a game changer, that book. Like I've recommended that book to my cousin, to another friend. And it's like anyone that I know that is dealing with anxiety, I will recommend that book to them. Like this book is not stuffed in a drawer, but it's in my bookcase with my other books. Like, it sit there. I'm proud of this book. And will, like, honestly share it with anyone that needs help. Like, I will share this book. Like, I'm very proud of it. It's the best $12 I spent, even though I used my Capital One points. But yeah, I remember
you use your insurance through Capital One.
I did sessions through, I think it was mid-June. No, yeah, end of June, all the way through July and August. And then my sessions started to go every other week in September through October. And then we kind of went on hiatus in November because my therapist at the time, I think she was moving. So we were doing like 2 appointments per month. So she had to cancel on one, and then Thanksgiving happened. So she kind of canceled again. And so my last session was actually in December. And I kind of felt like that was like the best Christmas gift to myself, was, you know, finishing up my counseling sessions and wrapping it up. My therapist was kind of sad to see me go, but recommended that if I ever need to go back, you know, to give her a call and, you know, continue, you know, wherever it is I need help with. And I highly recommend it to anybody. It's like the best thing to, you know, to do. Don't be afraid that, you know, you think you're crazy, you know, because mental health is a big thing. And especially during this chaotic time we're living in and, you know, venturing into our new normal. I just feel like after all that was done, like, I have a big relief on me. I'm a different person. I've learned from it. Walking away from my job after 15 years, it took a pandemic to get me out of my comfort zone, like my little comfortable spot. And, you know, it's crazy, you know, living a new, you know, lifestyle in this pandemic is, and getting used to how we do things now is it's kind of different and kind of getting used to it. But
I personally thought, like, going into therapy, they were gonna, you know, cinch me up in the straitjacket and stick me in a paddy wagon, and off Tony went to Atascadero, never to be heard from.
It's Sing Sing.
Yeah, like, legit, that's what I thought. And I spent years of therapy. I'm still in therapy because I am a psychotherapist. So I need that extra support to be able to process trauma that I'm experiencing through therapy. I love hearing these stories of like change and then not even hearing them when I see friends that reach out. I see the change. Like, I just watch it on social media and it's great. And then also you bring up a good point. Just because you go to therapy and then you feel great, you're still going to need tune-ups. So just because things are great and then you feel like you go through a rough patch, it's always great just to go back to therapy. And it's having that support in your life. We all need it, and we all struggle in trying to find it, especially right now during the pandemic. Here's a couple things that I want to point out. What was it that started you wanting to leave? Because you brought up there was like the rioting going on. And here's something that I completely forgot, because here in San Maria in town, there had been a riot like on Broadway. And Eddie, as you said, there was a riot and they broke into Target in Minneapolis. My first thought was, okay, is it just Target or is it going to be other Targets? And you guys put pallets up against the doors because you guys closed. And behind the pallets, you guys lined up carts. Yeah. And behind the carts, you had flats. And behind flats, you had you had like the tubs and stuff.
I remember that because I remember that it was a Sunday that I was working, but we had to put the pallets of water, like legit pallets against the doors, carts, and then like a pallet of like water. I remember closing that night, and I think it was a Sunday and we closed like at 5, and it was weird to leave on a Sunday, like barricading those doors. And that was another, like, you know, that was something that I kind of blacked out, you know. But my choice of leaving, I think at that point I was already like, I've been wanting to leave. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. That was like, you know, I was the unknown, like that scared me. Like I should just stay here. And then I was like, I've made it such a good family here that I don't want to leave. That was like the other hard part too, was like leaving my team, because I've, you know, been there for so many years. It's like the roots have been planted. It made it harder to leave. And I made the choice that, okay, it's a pandemic. Do I want to continue to like stress myself out? And, you know, eventually this gets worse. Do I want to get sick and take something home and possibly get my parents sick and something happens? So there was a lot of things that played into it. But at the end of the day, like I remember coming home that day when I first took my leave and talked to my dad. I'm like, I don't think I'm going back. And he was like, you know what? He's like, wait until your 30 days are up and think about if this is what you want to do. He's like, don't make any rash decisions right now when you're not in a good place. And I was like, I knew what I was saying. It wasn't like I was just speaking, you know, like blah, 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 blah. I knew what I was saying, like as I was mentally clear. And at that moment, and after my 30 days, I was just like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna, I want to just kind of stay home and take care of my mom and help her out during this craziness, because it was like, my dad's working, I'm working, she's home most of the day by herself. And, you know, she could only see out of half of one eye. So it's not like she can drive and go do things, you know, and take care of herself. So, you know, I made that choice, and it was a big choice that I did to walk away from a good paying job after 15 years to kind of stay home and take care of my mom. And kind of be the person who ran into town and did all the essential stuff during this pandemic, mm-hmm. so my parents didn't have to be out there, you know. So that was the.
It's a great thing when we process the issues that we're experiencing in our life, with that induces anxiety, stress, depression, all the negative emotions, and you get to a place like Eddie has been where. He finally realized, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if you were no good to yourself and you were just breaking and breaking and breaking, eventually no one could count on you, because you can't even count on yourself. It's just fun to see where everybody's at. And I think having like a reunion with all of us on here would be great. Here's a question that I'm curious to know. What have you done after Target?
I started selling Scentsy. So a friend of mine was selling it.
Scentsy's not a sponsor of the show, but I'll totally be down to have them sponsor the show, because I do have a lot of Scentsy stuff. I think the person you're referring to is Jacqueline. Right?
Jacqueline.
Or if this isn't like, I'm not like, they're not paying me, but I'm telling you, if you're looking for something to make your house smell just nice, Johnny Appleseed, boom, get the wax melts, the room spray, the bathroom and all-purpose cleaner combo, because it's cheaper. I'm telling you, because I'm a customer, so these are the things I actually use in my house / home
bundle
office.
And save.
Yeah, if you bundle and you save, I'm not kidding. And
do you have a subscription to Scentsy Club?
I didn't know there was one.
Yes, Scentsy has a Scentsy Club subscription, so you can get things delivered to you monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly. And the more you add to your Scentsy Club, you get 10% off. And after a certain amount, you can get one thing for half off. So I have a whiff box, and a whiff box is a variety of things that Scentsy sends to you on a month-to-month basis, or you can buy it for $30, but I only pay $15 for it through my Scentsy Club.
That, wow. Scentsy is really nice to have in your home. I don't like the cleaning product smell, because you already know me, germophobic, and like... I think I'm okay now just because I haven't left the house type thing. But working at Target, I was a total germaphobe. I didn't trust you guys, anybody. Like, it was just a gross place to be for me. And the cleaning products always gave me headaches. Now I feel like I'm on vacation when I'm using the Johnny Appleseed one. Like, I love it. Like, legit. Like, all Charlie's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm cleaning. I'm just smelling the stuff. It'll hook you. Yeah. And so... Where can the listeners get hooked up with some scentsy smells? Tell them that Spread Hope Like Fire sent you.
They can go to my website. That is eddiearpatino.scentsy.us.
Okay. So I'm going to link all of his ads, his websites and everything. You're doing a food blog, right?
I am. Before pandemic, I was doing these little adventures. I started my food blog off like going to like little holes in the wall along the Central Coast here with friends. So discovering little places and just blogging about it. Right before pandemic hit, I wanted to start venturing to either wineries or breweries and doing like the foods there and just taking friends along the ride and just, you know, enjoying some time and then blogging about it. But obviously pandemic hit, so that put that all to a halt. So basically right now I'm just kind of, I'm trying to do my own recipes that I make at home and like put it on my blog. One thing that I wanted to get into is like, having friends that live like out of state, send me a box of like their favorite things from where they're at. And then I can kind of taste it and then just blog about it. But once the pandemic's like, we're back to a new normal, I'm going to pick up places and going to venture into new places. I kind of want to support more like little local places, especially right now, have they been hit really hard during the pandemic. So we're not talking about like McDonald's or Applebee's type of things. It's like those little holes in the wall, mom and pop places and stuff like that. And just kind of promoting that stuff, those restaurants.
What's the name of the blog? I forgot. Sorry.
Sedwin's Good Eats.
And how do I access the Sedwin's Good Eats?
You can go to www.sedwinsgoodeats.com. That name's kind of unique to me because one of my managers from Target calls me Sedwin. So it's a long story there. We can probably talk about it when we ever do our Target podcast.
Yeah, we'll mark it down for all the stuff that we got to talk about, because that's going to be like a 10-part series. But no, I really want to have everybody on. Besides leaving Target, do you have your sights on anything else career-wise?
I've had a passion when I worked for Target in HR. That is something that I'm actually like looking into. On my next journey is getting something into HR. So that's something like I have skills and knowledge in, you know, from trainings to scheduling to holding orientations and stuff like that, payroll and all that fun HR stuff.
But definitely hit them up for the Scentsies, because the Scentsies are where it's at, Johnny Appleseed. But it's been nice chatting with you and getting reacquainted and seeing where we're all at. I look forward to us getting this Target thing going. I'm gonna work on that tonight, actually.
Getting back
together. It's gonna be interesting who I can get together first, my Target family or my old wrestling family. I appreciate you coming on, and it is always a pleasure and an honor for me to be able to sit and listen. And I hope the listeners as well feel the same way, to a lot of personal stuff that is allowing us as humans to grow, we're able to say that we are human and we hurt and we do need help. Because Eddie, I want to thank you for being on the show. Any last parting words?
Yes, before we go, I just came across this quote the other night and I feel like it's so fitting right now. So I want to leave with this. You have grown from your past. You will grow from your present.
Boom. For Eddie and Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat. This is Spread Hope Like Fire. We hope to see you soon.
Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.